A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
So Daniel sent us this one. He's been looking at retail trading platforms and noticed they all advertise market data feed latency in milliseconds, like it's the decisive feature. He wants to know who actually competes on microsecond advantages, what real end-to-end optimization would cost an individual, and how the data feed itself introduces latency before your trade even leaves your computer. It's a great set of questions because the gap between what's advertised and what's actually happening is enormous.
It really is. And the timing on this is interesting. You've got AI-driven trading bots being marketed directly to retail users now, promising algorithmic sophistication that used to require a quant desk. But the infrastructure those bots run on is the same public internet, the same home Wi-Fi, the same consolidated data feeds. So the latency claims and the actual edge have never been further apart.
The contradiction practically writes itself. So let's break this down into three questions that get at what latency actually buys, and for whom.
And the first thing to establish before we even talk about retail is what the professional tier actually looks like, because once you see that, the retail marketing claims sort of collapse under their own weight.
First, let's look at the tier where microseconds genuinely matter, the professional HFT world, and then ask whether any of that trickles down to retail.
So the baseline reality is this. Serious latency competition doesn't happen over the public internet. It happens inside exchange data centers. NASDAQ's colocation facility is in Carteret, New Jersey. The NYSE's is in Mahwah. The CME is out in Aurora, Illinois, and firms pay for rack space literally inside those buildings, with fiber runs to the matching engine measured in meters, under 10 meters in many cases.
10 meters? Meanwhile, my home router is further from my desk than that.
And that 10-meter fiber run isn't just any cable. These are equal-length cross-connects, precisely measured so that every firm in the colocation cage gets the same physical distance to the matching engine. The exchange doesn't want one firm getting a shorter cable and a few nanoseconds of advantage just because they got a better rack assignment. So they engineer parity at the physical layer.
Which is a fascinating detail. The exchange itself is in the business of preventing a cable-length arms race inside its own building. But outside the building, it's a free-for-all.
Right. And that's where the real arms race lives. The famous example is the microwave relay chains between Chicago and New Jersey. If you want to trade across exchanges, say arbitraging between the CME in Chicago and NASDAQ in Carteret, you need to get data between those two points as fast as possible. Fiber optic cable is fast, but it's not straight. It follows roads and railroad rights of way. It bends around geography. Microwave line of sight is straighter, and more importantly, light travels faster in air than in glass, about 50% faster. So microwave links shave roughly 1.5 milliseconds off the fiber latency between Chicago and New Jersey.
1.5 milliseconds. That's the margin these firms are spending millions on tower leases and spectrum licenses to capture.
And we're not even talking milliseconds anymore at the top tier. It's nanoseconds. Firms compete on the exact path of the cable, the type of transceiver, the processing delay inside the network interface card. They use FPGA hardware, field programmable gate arrays, to process market data and generate orders in hardware rather than software, because software introduces operating system scheduling delays that are just too slow.
So the professional tier is operating on infrastructure that's physically inside the exchange, connected by precisely measured fiber, with hardware that bypasses the operating system entirely. And then a retail platform says, get our low latency feed.
Right. And this is where the demand question gets interesting. Where does the demand for low latency feeds on retail platforms actually come from? I'd say it's mostly marketing. Latency is a measurable spec. You can put a number on it, and a smaller number sounds better. It's the trading equivalent of a car's 0 to 60 time. Most drivers will never need that acceleration, but it sells cars.
The spec sheet arms race. My brokerage feed is 5 milliseconds. Yours is 50. 5 is a smaller number. Therefore, my platform is better.
And for someone executing a few hundred shares of a liquid stock, the difference between 5 milliseconds and 50 milliseconds is completely irrelevant. Your edge, if you have one, comes from your strategy, your analysis, your risk management, not from whether your order reached the exchange 45 milliseconds earlier. The spread alone on most stocks is going to be a far larger cost than any latency differential you could optimize away.
But there's an exception, right? Algorithmic traders running strategies that react to market data. Arbitrage between correlated assets, that kind of thing.
Yes, and that's the carve-out worth making. If you're running a strategy that depends on speed, say you're trying to capture a pricing discrepancy between an ETF and its underlying basket of stocks, then latency does matter. But even then, the bottleneck is almost certainly not the data feed your broker is advertising. It's your broker's own execution infrastructure. Their API, their order routing, their internal risk checks, all of that happens before your order ever leaves their system.
So you might have a 1 millisecond data feed, but your broker's API is adding 20 milliseconds of processing before it even looks at your order.
And that's a number almost no broker advertises. They advertise the feed latency because it's the spec they can control and it sounds good. The internal routing latency is harder to measure and often less flattering.
There's also a regulatory layer here that most retail traders don't think about. The SEC's regulation NMS, National Market System, requires brokers to route orders to the venue offering the best price. That sounds great in principle, but it means your order might get routed through multiple venues to check for best execution, and each hop adds time. A regulation designed to protect retail investors can actually add milliseconds to execution.
That's a really important point. Reg NMS was part of the response to the fragmentation of U.S. equity markets. You've got something like 16 different exchanges, plus dozens of alternative trading systems. The best execution requirement means your broker has to check multiple venues. That's good for price improvement, but is not free in terms of latency.
And that's before we even get to payment for order flow. Most U.S. retail orders never actually race anyone to an exchange at all. They're routed to wholesale market makers, Citadel Securities, Vatu, who internalize the trade. Your order never sees the public exchange matching engine, so the advertised low latency feed to the exchange is, in many cases, describing a path your order doesn't even take.
That's the quiet part nobody says out loud. The retail broker advertises the speed of their data feed and their execution, but the order itself gets sold to a market maker who fills it from their own inventory. The latency that matters in that scenario is the market maker's internal systems, not your connection to the broker. And those market makers are co-located, running FPGA hardware, competing in nanoseconds. But you're not competing with them, you're their customer, or their revenue source, depending on how you look at it.
The broker is selling your order flow to the market maker, and simultaneously selling you on the speed of the feed. It's a beautiful business model if you don't think about it too hard.
And that brings us to the second question. What would it actually take for an individual to compete on latency? Let's say you decided, against all economic sense, that you wanted to optimize end-to-end-to-end.
So if the pros are operating on a completely different infrastructure, what would it actually take for an individual to compete on latency? And more importantly, why is it almost always a fool's errand?
Let's walk through the chain. Step 1. No Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi adds jitter and latency that's unpredictable. You're looking at anywhere from 1 to 10 milliseconds just from the wireless hop, and it varies moment to moment. You need wired Ethernet, and not just any Ethernet. You want a high-quality network interface card with proper offloading capabilities.
So already you're tethered to a cable. Not exactly the mobile trading experience the apps are selling.
Step 2. Your ISP. A typical home internet connection adds 10 to 30 milliseconds of latency just from ISP routing, before any trading infrastructure is involved. Your packets are going through your local exchange, through your ISP's backbone, through peering points, potentially across multiple ISPs. Each hop adds time, and you have almost no control over the path.
And favorable peering isn't something you can call Comcast in request.
Right. You'd need an ISP that peers directly with the exchange's access point, or ideally, you'd bypass the public internet entirely with a direct cross-connect. That means co-locating a server in the same data center as the exchange, which is what the pros do. But now you're paying for rack space, power, cooling, and cross-connect fees. That runs anywhere from $500 to $2,000 a month, depending on the data center and the level of connectivity.
So before we've even talked about the trading software, we're at a couple grand a month just to get physically close to the exchange.
And we're not done. Step 3, the server itself. You need hardware tuned for low latency. That means a network interface card with kernel bypass. Technologies like DPDK that let your application talk directly to the network hardware without going through the operating system's network stack. You need CPU pinning, where you dedicate specific processor cores to your trading application so they're never interrupted by other tasks. You need to disable power-saving features that can cause microsecond-level delays when the CPU ramps up from a low-power state.
All of which requires a level of systems engineering expertise that isn't typically found in someone who just wants to trade stocks from their laptop.
And step 4, even after all that, you're still competing against firms with nanosecond level optimization. They've got custom hardware, custom FPGA designs, microwave links, and teams of engineers whose entire job is to shave nanoseconds off the critical path. You can't out-engineer them as an individual. It's not a question of budget. It's a question of organizational capability.
So the economic futility is baked in at every layer. You spend thousands a month to get your latency from 50 milliseconds down to 5. And you're still orders of magnitude slower than the firms you're theoretically competing with. And the actual edge from those 45 milliseconds you saved is dwarfed by the spread in commission costs of a single trade.
And that's the point that should really land for retail traders. The latency difference between a good setup and a bad one is negligible compared to other costs. If you're paying a commission of a fraction of a cent per share, and the spread on the stock is a penny, those costs are measured in dollars, or at least cents per share. The latency cost, even on a bad connection, is measured in fractions of a cent, and often fractions of a fraction of a cent. It's the wrong thing to optimize.
It's like trying to improve your gas mileage by removing the antenna from your car. Technically, it reduces drag. Practically, it does nothing you'll ever notice.
That's exactly the scale we're talking about. And now we get to the third question, which is the one I find most interesting, the data feed itself. Because even if you somehow solved all the networking and hardware problems, even if you had a 0-millisecond link to your broker, you're still only as fast as the data you're receiving.
This is the overlooked layer. The feed itself has latency baked in before your computer ever sees a price.
And there are really two tiers of data feed in the US equity markets. The first is the consolidated feed, the Securities Information Processor, or SIP. This is the official feed that aggregates quote and trade data from all the exchanges. It's what's used to calculate the national best bid and offer, and it's measurably slower than the exchange's direct proprietary feeds.
How much slower?
The SIP adds roughly 1 to 5 milliseconds of latency compared to direct feeds, depending on the exchange and the time of day. That might not sound like much, but remember, the professional firms are competing in nanoseconds. 1 millisecond to them is an eternity, and that 1 to 5 millisecond gap is well documented. The exchanges sell their direct feeds. NASDAQ has TotalView, ITCH. NYSE has its proprietary feed, and professional firms pay thousands of dollars a month for access because those direct feeds are faster than the SIP.
So if you're a retail trader looking at a real-time quote on your platform, and that platform is using SIP data, you're already 1 to 5 milliseconds behind the direct feed reality. The price you're seeing is already stale before you can react to it.
And it gets worse. Under SEC rules, real-time, data can legally be delayed by up to 15 minutes for some data types. Most retail platforms do provide real-time quotes for the major exchanges, but plenty of free platforms still show 15-minute delayed data unless you specifically enable real-time quotes. And even when you do, you're getting SIP data, which, as we just established, is behind the direct feeds.
So the retail trader's millisecond feed is sitting on top of a feed that's already behind the direct feed reality by design. It's a millisecond measurement of something that arrives stale.
Right. And when a broker advertises sub-millisecond execution, they're almost always measuring the time from when your order hits their server to when it reaches the exchange. That's the broker-to-exchange leg. It doesn't include the time it took for the market data to travel from the exchange to your screen, or the time it took for your order to travel from your computer to the broker's server. It's a carefully scoped measurement that excludes the two slowest parts of the chain.
The full round trip. Data from exchange to your screen, your reaction time, your order from your computer to the broker's processing, and the broker to exchange leg. That's the number that actually matters. And nobody advertises that.
Because it'd be a much larger and less impressive number. A typical retail setup, even with a good internet connection, is looking at maybe 20 to 50 milliseconds of round-trip latency just from the network. Add in the SIP delay, add in the broker's API processing, add in your own reaction time, which for a human is hundreds of milliseconds, and the sub-millisecond execution claim is measuring the fastest leg of a much longer journey.
It's like a restaurant advertising that their kitchen can cook your steak in 90 seconds, but they don't mention the 45-minute wait for a table.
And here's the thing. Some of these latency improvements are real. The broker's infrastructure is fast. The co-located servers, the optimized network stacks, the direct exchange connections, those are real engineering achievements. The problem is the marketing extrapolates from our servers are fast to you'll trade faster, and that leap ignores everything between your computer and their servers.
So let's talk about what a retail trader can actually measure. You mentioned earlier that a simple ping test to the broker's server can tell you a lot.
Yeah, and this is practical. Open a terminal, ping your broker's server, measure the round-trip time. If it's under 20 milliseconds, your connection is fine. The rest is marketing. If it's above 50, you might have a routing issue worth investigating. But even then, the fix is probably something mundane. Switch from Wi-Fi to Ethernet, or check if your ISP has a bad peering arrangement, not upgrading to some premium data feed.
And that 20 millisecond threshold is generous. Most strategies that a retail trader would run aren't sensitive to 20 milliseconds of latency.
Not even close. The strategies that are sensitive to that level of latency are things like market making, statistical arbitrage across exchanges, latency arbitrage, all of which require co-location and direct feeds and hardware optimization to even attempt. If you're not co-located, you're not in that game, period. The 20 milliseconds from your home connection is the least of your problems.
Given all that, the infrastructure costs, the data feed limitations, the marketing spin, what should a retail trader actually care about?
Three things, I'd say. First, execution quality. That means fill rate. What percentage of your orders actually get filled? And slippage. How much the executed price differs from the price you saw when you clicked. A broker that routes orders to high-quality liquidity pools will give you better results than one with a 1 millisecond faster feed. And execution quality is something you can actually measure by looking at your trade confirmations.
So focus on the outcome, not the spec sheet.
Second, if you're running algorithmic strategies through a broker's API, test your actual round-trip latency with a time-stamped order. Don't trust the advertised specs. Send a small order, log the timestamps at each stage you can measure, and see what the real numbers are. The bottleneck is almost certainly the broker's API and execution infrastructure, not your internet connection.
And third,
understand what data feed you're actually using. If you're trading on a consolidated feed, and most retail platforms use SIP data, you're seeing prices that are already stale by milliseconds. For most strategies, that doesn't matter. But if you're running something fast-moving, like scalping or news-based trading, those milliseconds might actually be relevant. In that case, consider whether a direct feed or a broker that uses one is worth the cost. But be honest about whether your strategy needs it.
And for most people, the honest answer is no.
For almost everyone, the direct feeds cost thousands a month. The SIP delay is 1 to 5 milliseconds. Unless your strategy's edge is measured in fractions of a millisecond, and if it is, you already know all of this and you're probably co-located, the SIP is fine.
So where does this leave us? The latency arms race isn't going away, but for most traders, it's a distraction from what actually matters.
And what matters is strategy, risk management, and execution quality. Latency is a solved problem for the pros. They've pushed it down to nanoseconds, and the remaining gains are marginal. The next frontier isn't lower latency. It's smarter algorithms that can predict market moves without needing to react faster. If you can anticipate a price movement rather than race to respond to it, latency becomes irrelevant.
Which brings us back to the AI trading bots being marketed to retail users. The pitch is that AI gives you professional-grade strategy. But the infrastructure gap, colocation, direct feeds, hardware optimization, isn't going away. If anything, it's widening. The question is whether smarter algorithms can compensate for slower infrastructure.
And that's the open question I think Daniel's prompt points toward. As these AI tools become more accessible, will the latency arms race trickle down, or will the infrastructure gap between professional and retail traders only widen? My suspicion is the gap widens. The professionals aren't standing still. They're adopting AI too, and they're running it on co-located hardware with direct feeds. The retail trader gets a smarter bot, but it's still running on a home internet connection with SIP data. The relative disadvantage might actually increase.
So the real edge isn't in chasing milliseconds. It's in understanding where the milliseconds actually come from, and not being sold a spec that doesn't matter for your use case. That's the takeaway.
And if you want to do one thing after listening to this, ping your broker's server. If it's under 20 milliseconds, you can stop thinking about latency entirely and focus on what actually moves the needle.
And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the late 1600s, natural philosophers on the Yamal Peninsula believed that the vivid blue fluorescence of local fluorite deposits was proof that frozen mammoth remains were slowly turning into gemstones underground, a theory that persisted in Russian mineralogical texts for nearly a century before being abandoned.
So mammoths were just future sapphires.
The geological patience required for that theory is almost admirable. Thanks, Hilbert.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flemingtop. If you enjoyed this, find us at myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.